You may feel quite self-conscious about how your labia look, and that might mean you avoid having relationships. So it's not only the physical aspects of sex, but also the emotional aspects of sex too that can motivate people to have labiaplasty.
Warning, adult content. The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
What do you do when you're more outgoing than your partner? Or your partner struggles when you tell them you need alone time? I'm Nat Tenchich, and on the podcast, we're talking introverts dating extroverts and vice versa, and the challenges those relationships can pose. Soon, you'll hear about how you can make it work when a psychologist drops by. But first, Megan called up to tell us what it's like dating an extrovert when you're the opposite.
Look, I didn't really think it was a big issue. And then somebody had mentioned it to me just in passing, that it was a little bit bigger than usual. I didn't grow up with, like, porn being a big thing. I didn't really realise it was an issue. And then I kind of realised that it was a bit different and Googled it and found that there was somebody in Perth that did it and organised to get it done, and within a couple of weeks it was all done.
Yeah, well, what made you want to get it done?
Probably more being able to wear bathers.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was going on when you put on bathers?
Oh, well, you could see it. Do you know what I mean? You could just tell that it wasn't the same as other girls.
Yeah, and then that would have been that would have made it really difficult and hurt your confidence, I imagine.
To be honest, not really. I wasn't a thing. I was always flat chested, so I was always more concerned about that, to be honest. But it wasn't a big thing. I imagine some people are really, really self conscious about it. I wasn't particularly. It was just when I realised I could get it done and for as reasonably priced as I did, I just thought, oh, why not, to be honest. It also made sex a bit difficult at times.
Before you had it done, it made sex
difficult? Yeah,
it wasn't
easy, yeah.
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 Yeah, right. And since you've had it done, has sex become easier for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how? What ended up changing with your anatomy, if you don't mind?
It's a little less awkward, if you get what I mean. So I've only had one partner before, since I've had it done. And it's not such a mission.
Yeah. Well, how did your partner sort of react, after it was done? Did your partner have a comment and say, oh, this experience is easier for me.
He prefers it a lot more. He says it's much neater.
Yeah, and happier that it happened.
My only thing is, for anyone out there that's thinking about getting it done, don't rush to have sex straight away, because we couldn't really wait. It's supposed to be at least 6 weeks, and we probably did it a bit sooner and it caused some of the stitches to bust. So if you are thinking about getting it done,
wait the amount of time that you've been told.
Or it will literally bust the stitches and change the way that it looks, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, Jazz, thank you so much for sharing your story on The Hookup.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
We're joined now by Dr. Gemma Sharp. She's a fellow in the School of Public Health and Preventative Medicine at Monash University, and she's a clinical psychologist as well. Gemma, welcome back to The Hookup.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's a real pleasure.
So what do you say to Jazz's story? In some instances, it seems that labiaplasty can be something that can improve your sex life or fix a problem that you might have been having. How often is that the case?
I think having labiaplasty for sexual reasons, as Jazz was saying, is actually pretty common. From my understanding, what she was getting at was that when her partner was, when they're having sexual intercourse, perhaps her labia minora were being pushed inside and were making it quite uncomfortable. And so with that tissue reduction, it would mean that penetration would be easier. I think also what happens with sexual reasons too is that You may feel quite self-conscious about how your labia look, and that might mean you avoid having relationships. So it's not only the physical aspects of sex, but also the emotional aspects of sex too that can motivate people to have labiaplasty.
Yeah. Why do you think labiaplasty is becoming more common? I think what we hear about it more and more, and I'm doing some research or reading about your research, it's increasing. How much is it increasing and why?
We don't have good stats in Australia because in the private sector they don't need to report it. But in the States, which I think is probably not too dissimilar to us, it's increased over 200% in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So the numbers are going up for sure. I mean, I don't think any of us know the exact answer as to why it's going up, but I think people are becoming more aware of it. It's not too expensive. I think, like as Jazz was saying, you know, she was talking about it with her friends. There was also that how you look in swimwear is really influential, as well as the influence of pornography too. So I think it's really multifactorial.
Yeah, I mean, she was talking about the fact that she never thought about it until it was like a physical obstacle, because she just never really saw things on the internet because she's a little bit older. How much is the internet playing a role in what we think a beautiful labia and vulva should look like?
My research certainly suggests that it's playing a very important role, is perhaps the most influential role. So pornography for sure is a readily accessible source of for women to compare their own genital appearance. But also, as Jazz was saying, fashions as well. Like we tend to see really airbrushed fashion pictures. So when we see women wearing bikinis and yoga pants, there's no lumps or bumps in that region either. So it's not only how it looks naked, but also clothed, that's really influencing how we think.
Yeah, as we heard from Jazz there as well. Ellie from Brisbane says, I think labiaplasty is so disheartening. All vaginas are beautiful and different and should be respected and loved. I saw Dr. Gemma give a big thumbs up as I read that out. What would you say about embracing your vag the way it is?
I mean, I think we could say this for the whole body in general, but particularly our private parts. I mean, you know, they perform such an important function. I mean, the labia, it protects the vagina. It helps lubrication during sex. I know that's been a hot topic of the show as well. So let's not rush to chop these bits off that play such an important role in our sex lives. So I think it would be wonderful if we could embrace the diversity in female genitalia.
Another question here. I have no idea what my vagina looks like and don't care particularly. I love sex and I have great sex. Why do people want to know what it looks like, how it's different? I mean, do you ever get a mirror out and check out your bits and see what they look like? Because you might be surprised at the fact that they are pretty darn normal, actually. And vaginas do come in all shapes and all sizes and all styles. Is that right, Gemma?
Absolutely. Yeah, different colour, size, shape, texture. The range is just enormous. I would recommend people who are concerned check out the Labia Library, which is a Women's Health Victoria initiative. It is a terrific source of information. And really, it gives you pictures as well as written information. If you're worried at all about your genitals being normal, I reckon you'll find something that looks like yours in the labia library.
Dr. Jason Oates, plastic and cosmetic surgeon at Academy Face and Body, who specialises in labiaplasty. Jason, welcome back.
Hi, Nat. Thanks for having me again.
It's great to have you back. So, Jason, can you talk us through the procedure of labiaplasty exactly and how it works and what can be done?
Sure. So the patient obviously initially comes in for a consult and we discuss perhaps why they're interested in this surgery, whether they've got a comfort sort of issue, if there's a sort of a health and medical background, or if it's really just an appearance and self-confidence issue. We talk about the process of the surgery, which I'll sort of describe in a moment, and the potential risk complications, the downtime, such as not being able to have sex for 6 weeks, Jazz, remember that. and then we schedule a procedure. The vast majority I do in our own facility. It's a day hospital, and people come in fasting. So that means not having anything to eat, usually overnight. We put in a little drip into the back of their hand, give them some medication, and they drift off into what we call a twilight sleep. So basically, so long as everything's totally numb, they sleep through the procedure entirely. We do have a group of people who have it done purely under twilight sedation. They don't want to, sorry, purely under local anaesthetic. So that's just having the needle to numb it up.
Mm-hmm. And you're still awake when that happens?
Totally awake. And when I first had a patient who wanted to do that, I thought, no way. Surely nobody would. And of course, it turned out it was probably easier, quicker. You know, she was having a bit of a chat to us while we were doing it. I'm sure the procedure was much quicker doing like that. And then at the end of the procedure, she jumped off the table, sat around for a few minutes, and then just said, oh, can I go home? I said, oh, okay, yeah, sure, head on home. So normally they're asleep. I mark out with a surgical pen exactly where we'll be trimming the skin off, and the most important thing is to not trim too much to skin. Inject some local anaesthetic so it's totally numb. I use something that's called radio surgery. A lot of people think of it sort of like a laser, except it just uses a very fine wire, and it sort of vaporizes the sort of tissue as you touch it, and it slices through very quickly and easily. There's a couple of big blood vessels that run through the labia, so we have to cauterize those to make sure that there's no bleeding at all. And that's the most common issue that people can get afterwards is a little bit of bleeding. And then use a dissolving stitch. I put all of the stitches on the inside of the labia. And there are two main styles of labiaplasty. I mostly do what's called a free edge trim. So you essentially trim all the way along the edge of the labia, that inner lips of the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
The other technique is what's called a wedge resection, where you cut a triangle, a wedge out of it, and then pull the two edges together. And they're both good techniques, and most surgeons either do all one way or the other. I stitch it all up with dissolving stitches. All the stitches are on the inside. A little bit of an antibiotic ointment like Vaseline over the top. And that's it. People stay around a little while just to recover from the sedation. We make sure they're okay. Somebody picks them up and they head home.
Yeah. I was reading a bit about clitoral hood reduction as well, which it seems like it's another form of labiaplasty. How does that work, and why might people get that?
So typically when we're talking about the labia minora, we're talking about the skin that trails down below the level of the clitoris, and then you've got the clitoris hood and the prepuce, which is the skin that sort of goes over that area. And in some girls, that can be quite a bulky and large amount of skin. And if you reduce the labia minora below the clitoris without going up each side and tightening that skin all the way to the very top of the vulva, then it looks too bulky and unnatural there. So the idea is once it heals up, that it should look very natural, and if somebody doesn't know that you've ever had that surgery, they shouldn't be able to tell by looking.
Mm. And so does that mean that, like, your clitoris can be, like, quite buried in your labia majora sometimes, and do people want to expose it more? Is that kind of why they do it?
There are some people who specifically want to have their clitoris more exposed. It's certainly an area we've got to be a little bit more careful, because what you don't want to do is actually take away too much of that skin and have the clitoris fully exposed, because then it will rub on clothing and that'll be uncomfortable. For sexual stimulation, some women find that the clitoris is very buried. And in fact, there is a medical condition where it is buried, and there's a more specific surgery to reduce the hood and even bring the clitoris forward.
Yeah. And Jason, when the labia minora is sort of, I suppose, longer than the labia majora, so it's like sticking out, and I imagine that's kind of the most common reason.
That's it, yeah.
That people get labiaplasty. Can there be any sort of medical issues with having your labia like that? Like, can it lead to an infection, or is it just totally normal.
Oh, it's totally normal, and I tell everybody that's coming in to see me for that what they've got there is totally normal. I've not had anybody with abnormal vulval appearance and abnormal labia. I see some girls who have got one really long one, you know, it could be, you know, 5 or 6 centimetres longer on one side than it is on the other, and that's normal. But sometimes it's that asymmetry is enough to make them feel more self-conscious about it. Medically, I think it's more of a comfort thing. I'm not sure if you attribute infection specifically to the size and length, although I guess it's potentially possible. And maybe it's because nobody has any pubic hair anymore, it seems, your pubic hair used to protect it and stop it from being rubbed and abraded on clothing. And now the labia is getting more of that trauma. And so people are feeling it a lot more.
Mm. You're listening to The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich and I'm here with Dr. Gemma Sharp. She's a fellow in the School of Public Health and Preventative Medicine at Monash University. And Dr. Jason Oates is a plastic and cosmetic surgeon. And we're talking all about labiaplasty and also just ways that women or any vagina owner might want to alter and change their vagina for looks, for cosmetic reasons, or for pleasure reasons. A text in here, 0439757555. Unless for medical necessity, I think it's crazy and has heaps to do with porn. Vaginas are just about the prettiest things ever, and I personally feel an outie looks even more pretty. Also, nothing quite compares to a long, hot pash on the lips. Gemma, how much has this got to do with porn? I think that's a really interesting point that Texter brings up.
Yeah, I think from my own research, we know that porn's really influential. Like, it tends to be only that single crease where the labia minora is all tucked inside that's shown, unless it's hardcore pornography where anything can be shown. But our research suggests that women tend to consume more the softcore pornography, so they're maybe not seeing the wide range of normal genitalia in their viewing. And also what we do know is that the comments their partners make about their genital appearance certainly does impact whether they want labiaplasty or not. I've interviewed quite a few women who've said that receiving a negative comment about how their labia looked really was very hurtful and made them want to get labiaplasty.
And would it be because, like, the guys that they're sleeping with are watching more porn?
I think we could say that would be the case for some, yes, that they're seeing a certain kind of woman in pornography and they want their partner to look like her.
Yeah. Why do you think that aesthetic choice has been made in pornography? Like, why do people think that looks better?
I wish I knew. I mean, in other cultures like Japan, a large butterfly-shaped labia is attractive. And in Africa, women attach weights to their labia to make them longer and more beautiful. So how have we got
Ouch.
This? Yeah, true. So I'm not exactly sure how we've got this neat and tidy look in Western culture, but it's certainly been the case for quite a while. And I suppose we always look at Barbie doll as being our kind of style icon, and Barbie has no labia minora whatsoever. So if she's our kind of guiding principle, then that's possibly how we've got this neat and tidy labia ideal going on.
Mm. Gemma, you've done a lot of research around why women get labiaplasty. And how often have you noticed that women regret getting it done?
It's not a huge percentage. Most women are generally very happy, but certainly some women do regret it. And what can happen, as Dr. Oates was explaining, like, he marks on with a surgical pen how much tissue to take off, but sometimes too much tissue is taken off and it can be a complete amputation. So there's no labia minora left and it can be very, very uncomfortable. So that's one reason why women may be dissatisfied. Another reason, I suppose, is more of a psychological perspective, that someone may have body dysmorphic disorder. And that's where they basically become kind of cosmetic surgery junkies, and that they're never happy with any procedure that gets done and they just keep going back for more and more. So some women who are getting labiaplasty would fall into that category as well.
Jason, just going back to that, like the full amputation of the labia minora, is that particularly common? Does that happen often enough?
No, that's not really a common thing. That's part of the competition between different surgeons, between those doing the wedge resection, and they termed the free edge trimming technique amputation. And it was very effective sort of marketing to sort of say, oh, we don't like that, and so don't go and see those surgeons doing that. Come and see us. But it is technically easier to take off more than you expect, and that's where experience of a surgeon does become important, because you've got a better ability to judge how much you're leaving behind.
Some people, I think, might think that getting labiaplasty will solve all of their problems or all of their issues around how they feel about their vulvas. Why might that not be the case?
That's a really good point, Nat. So I think one of the biggest red flags, I think, for undergoing labiaplasty is that sort of unrealistic expectations like, you know, I'll get a boyfriend through this, I'll feel psychologically 100% better. What we find is that while people do feel a lot better about how their labia look afterwards, it doesn't really extend beyond that. It doesn't necessarily improve their relationship with their partner or alleviate any symptoms of anxiety and depression. So I think we need to be really clear when patients come to us that the benefits will be quite specific to their genital region and not revolutionise their entire life.
Yeah. Gemma, what ways can people maybe exercise in a little bit of genital love, I guess? Like, how can people get a realistic idea of that the fact that their bits are probably okay and be comfortable with what they have?
It's such an important issue. I mean, we have trouble even talking about vaginas in society. So why would people necessarily embrace the way their vaginas look when we struggle to say the word, except for this show, obviously, where we're doing a great job. So I think it needs to start really young, like having discussions with little girls and boys about having different bits and that they're all different, just like the rest of their body parts, and that they're going to grow and develop just like the rest of their bodies. And I think that kind of opens up a dialogue that will help them in the rest of their lives. Like, I think, as we were saying, a lot of women don't know what their genitals look like. So get out a hand mirror, check out the labia library online and actually look for the different parts of your vulva, like your clitoris, your labia minora, labia majora, vaginal opening. Let's start using the correct labels for these anatomical parts instead of calling it all the vagina, which we tend to do in society. And then check out all the different images of different genital appearances, and you'll see that yours matches a lot of other people's.
And if you have a partner that made that comment, which is so often why people with vaginas decide to get them altered and changed and make them look different, what do you say to that person to say, actually,
goodbye,
it's fine?
Yeah, ditch the boyfriend for sure. No, I think it would be a matter of let's both have a look at the labia library or another similar site, and we'll see that indeed vaginas differ just like snowflakes. No two are alike. And, why is mine why is that one in pornography any better than mine? They have exactly the same function. And, yeah, so let's start to challenge that notion of that kind of Barbie doll look. Why is that the best look? No one really knows anyway.
Jason, where might people go to get help with their to get more information about what their bits should look like or whether they actually really do need a procedure like labiaplasty?
Well, as Gemma said, the labia library is a great resource. It's full colour close up pictures and somewhat confronting. Even for me, when I clicked on there, it wasn't quite what I expected to see on a government website. often point people towards the Great Wall of Vagina as well, you know, that big art installation.
Genius.
Yeah. And we have links to those on our websites. But maybe I'll take the devil's advocate role here and sort of say, although I do totally agree with what Gemma was saying, like even starting young and being free and open about talking about the parts of your body, I don't see any great difference between, you know, your vagina, your nose, your ears, your hair. And, you know, if you get up in the morning and you're brushing your hair, if your hair isn't the colour that you were born with, you know, if you're matching your shoes to your belt or your bag or something, you know, what makes, you know, the changes that you make to your appearance that make you feel more confident about yourself and your appearance more valid than perhaps what these women are asking for. And I think it's really important not to shame these women and say, you know, why are, you know, you wanting to change this? You know, God gave you this and, you know, you shouldn't be doing anything to it because it is something that really worries people and it is having an important effect on a really important area of their lives. And Gemma mentioned about comments from partners. In fact, the common comment that I hear is when they were at school and they're at that formative teenage years and, you know, the boys are discovering the internet and porn and they say, oh, look, I saw this last night and, you know, the woman on this video had these massive labia. Oh, they were disgusting. And then she's thinking, oh, my body's been changing and maybe my labia are like that. Mine are bigger. I've seen the other girls and mine are bigger. And now she's thinking, that's what people are thinking. So the comment hasn't actually been made about her body, but she's already got that in her mind. Now, sure, if we had, you know, a great health education system and, you know, people were taught about their bodies and people could all feel great, but once it's there, it makes them feel confident in an area where confidence is so important.
Yeah.
I just thought I wanted to say.
just put one in there for as the plastic and cosmetic surgeon. We're going to leave it on this last comment here from Lacey from Newey, who has texted in on that. I have inner labias that hang lower. Having a boyfriend for years, I always thought it was unattractive and often talked about surgery. Being single and having more people see my pussy, I found that guys love my lips. So maybe also you can find a guy who just loves your lips for what they are. We're listening. You've been listening to The Hookup.
Absolutely.
On Triple J. I want to thank Gemma Sharp and Jason Oates for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yes, thanks, Nat. And good to hear from you again, Gemma.
Nice to chat to you again, Jason.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have you got a topic you really want covered? Shoot us an email via thehookup@abc.net.au or hit us up on Facebook.